Welcome to Murky Chronicles 34, China's version of Bigfoot, the urine. I am Thaifala, the Butcher Dobashi.
And I am gorgeous Kenny Roberts.
And yes, you are. Well, real quick, I made a little error on last episode last week. And I said Donna Lee instead of Donnie Lee, you know, with the Skunk Ape song. So...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so what I did, I put the links in the description, the podcast description on last week's show if they want to go to the YouTube link. So, yeah, I just want to make that right. But I'm excited, you know, we talked about it yesterday on the phone. Next week we have a renowned Bigfoot researcher, Todd Neese, and this should be a great show next week.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to hearing some of his stories and picking his brain a little bit.
Yeah, so if you guys want any send in questions, send them, email them to murkychronicles@gmail.com, and we have a 24-hour hotline, and you may just hear yourself on the show at 360-200-8779. So, you know, today we're going to talk about the urine. We have some movie shorts to review, and I have a couple of Bigfoot theme songs to review, and we have an extra added treat at the end of the show, and who knows what may happen, gorgeous one.
Absolutely, I'm excited. Let's get to it.
Okay, well, before we do, how was your week?
Oh, it was all right. This sounds like a loaded question. Why are you asking?
Oh, I already know how your week is, but I just trying to keep things flowing, and, you know, the listeners I know probably want to know how your week was.
It was eventful. How was yours?
It was quite eventful for myself.
Nice. You were bad.
Well, anyways. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. No, I'm just going to change the subject. Let's put it that way. And move on to...
Wait, am I missing something juicy?
Nothing juicy.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little moist, but never juicy.
I want to know... speaking of moist...
Oh, no.
I thought about you because your great, beautiful Joey Roberts Doritos joke, right?
So, three toes?
Yeah, three toes. And... I'd play the cricket chirping, but in the rim shot, but I didn't download I don't have that sound bite today, but I got a joke for you. I got a joke for you.
Okay. All right. We're going to start off with jokes. Let's go.
Well, might as well, you know, we play it off by the cuff. I wrote it down. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Right here. Okay. Let me look into the phone. Okay. Well, I have a fun fact too. Okay. Here's the joke. Okay. Gorgeous Kenny Roberts, what is your favorite of the seven seas?
Seven seas?
Yeah, you know, the seven seas, you know, the ocean, you know, the seven seas.
Oh,
what's your favorite?
Seas? Okay.
What's your favorite seven sea? Your favorite of the seven seas?
So, like the oceans? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Pacific Ocean.
Well, you know what mine is?
What?
Pussy.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have a fun fact. Speaking of, that was my favorite C.
Oh, man.
Well, no, this was...
I wish I had some soundboy bites. That was bad.
Well, check this out. Do you know what our generic siblings are? And this ain't a joke. This is actually an interesting fact I found out today, right before we start recording the show.
No, what's that?
Well, check it. Okay. It's when two sets of twins, right? The males and females, you know, two sets of twins marry each other.
Uh-huh.
And if they have kids, they're not considered cousins. They're considered siblings. See, not only they look the same, basically they are carbon copies of each other with the exact same DNA. So they will not be cousins. They'll be generic siblings. I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to share with you.
Oh, well, that was a fun fact.
Yeah, I just kind of, I don't know why, I was blown me away. You instead of cousins, you'd actually be siblings. I don't know.
Well, I don't have to worry about that. Got on the twin.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd have to marry a set of twins, too, and if you're a twin. Have you ever been with twins?
No. But I think my wife was telling me about a TV show about twins marrying twins or something.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I've never watched it. But.
Matter of fact, my mom has cousins that are identical twins, and I always I think what the thing is like twins skip every generation or something like that. You hear anything about that?
Yeah, I think I've heard something like that.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. I cannot confirm or deny that. That it's factual, but yeah, I believe I've heard that before.
Well, anyways, you know, we were going to talk about the Chinese version of the Bigfoot called the urine, and it sounds like I'm saying urine, huh?
Oh, yeah.
But what I found out in this Chinese folklore, there are tales of a man or a beast who lives in the woods and is referred to as Yeren, Y-E-R-E-N, which means wild man. In 1970, an expedition was carried out to find the so-called wild man after there were reports of sightings in the Xinjiang region of Hubei Province.
Can you repeat that again?
I knew you were going to do that. I should have did it, you know, whatever. It's called Xinjiang, Xinjiang region of Hubei Province. So hair samples, footprints, and witnesses' accounts have all added to the mystery of being, but as of 2021... he still hasn't been found. But I found some other interesting facts. But do you know anything else about this before I go on?
Yeah, I had a question for you.
Okay.
Does the Chinese urine in the woods? Urinate in the woods. I blew that one. That was bad. Take it back. Never mind.
All right. Good, because I didn't have a comeback for that.
That was horrible.
Well, I know. Real quick, urine thing. You know, you could drink up your own urine up to like a few times. I forgot the number was, but then after that, after so many times, you can't, because then it'd be pretty much all pneumonia. Ammonia.
Mm. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of big in some cultures. I think in China somewhere, too, they drink their own urine.
Weird.
But anyways, as you were saying?
Oh, nothing. A few facts. I just saw that the urine's not a very big Bigfoot.
Uh-huh.
Did you already go over that?
No, go ahead.
No, it stands over 6 foot tall, so, you know.
Oh, it is over 6 foot?
So that's probably huge in China.
Right, but it's big.
Their average height is you know, much less than 6 foot. So,
I mean, that's still pretty big, but it's not compared to the Bigfoot over here.
Yeah, and they say it's got black and red hair, long arms, mm-hmm. all the way down to the knees.
Wow. You know,
and you know what?
What?
The urine supposedly laughs when coming across the human.
They laugh, he said?
Yes.
Really? Well, what color did you say their hair was?
Black and red.
Remember the Bigfoot, you know, when I told you the story about my Bigfoot, and I said it a few times on, you know, on this podcast, come to think of it, that this Bigfoot hair was like a reddish brown.
Was it laughing at you in the woods?
No.
it wasn't a Chinese urine.
I don't think so. I really miss my rim shot sound effects. I wish I would have had that right now.
You could have snuck across on in a container and got into the wild in the Pacific Northwest.
Is that what it says?
No, I'm just making it up.
Oh, you're funny. Well, I have some facts or this is what
bring
some,
on the facts.
Well, it's not really facts. This is what some people are saying in China.
All right, stories. Bring on the stories.
Well, okay. It says Bigfoot human hybrid found in jungle, and it says a lot of Chinese believe that to be a Bigfoot cross human, he was found abandoned in a small town in a remote bamboo forest deep in the Sichuan province. And these areas have a long time legends of Bigfoot, a.k.a. urine. And the other version of it, human hybrid men discovered in China. This ape-like man was believed to be half human, half Bigfoot. And a woman gave birth to this tall, long-armed, ape-looking creature after claiming that she was raped by a urine. And a man in China appears to be animal-like and squats like an ape. And then it goes on to say that what explains it, Chinese believe that the microcephaly, it's a defect in humans, and especially in the rural people do believe in the unusually large ape-like creature, Bigfoot and urine. The physical evidence of which is not known to this day, but skeptics thought that the Chinese man, they had a video of it, and I, of course, can't download or show it, but it shows a big guy, you know, has like a lot of abnormal features, almost kind of like giganticism, a birth defect, and which his head is, you know, big head. Poor brain function, dwarfism, or short stature, and just they're like a retard. I'm not trying to be unpolitically correct, and this ain't no woke project, but they would say, you know, basically a retarded baby, and when they see like a retarded baby, there'd be stories about, and people, basically what the women would say too, if the baby is retarded and stuff, they would claim they were raped by Bigfoot.
Mm.
Yeah. And like in a lot of the times, these deformities caused by drugs, alcohol, certain viruses and toxins that they were exposed to the fetus during pregnancy. And, you know, it causes damages, you know, to their development. And there's a scientist.
Like inbreeding too, man.
What's that?
Some inbreeding too.
Right. But I don't know if there was any. I don't know if there's any of that there. But there's a case, Schitzel Sturtees from 1901 to 71, an American sideshow performer and occasional actor, best known for his role in the 1932 movie Freaks. He had that deformity of the microcephaly, and what left him, you know, with an unusually small brain and skull and small stature. And he was actually about 4 feet tall and had some mental retardation. He died from bronchial pneumonia. So, you know, people, you know, they try to, you know, coordinate that with, you know, the urine. So yeah,
that's crazy.
But that's crazy. I did find this though. I know, just tell me to shut up if I'm babbling too much, but
nope,
I found this from the Indian.
Enlighten me with your urine knowledge.
I will. Okay. Because I found this interesting. This was from the India Times. It says London, the legend of Bigfoot is not only real, but the creature is direct relative of a man had sex with a relative of a man had sex with human females 15,000 years ago and says a new study that so-called real DNA samples. Texas veterinarian researcher Melba S. Ketchum and her firm, DNA Diagnostics, worked for 5 years and concluded that the Mystic Bigfoot is indeed a human hybrid that descended from human women who mated with men of unknown hominem species, the Daily Mail reported. However, Ketchum has presented no evidence yet for her findings, nor has she had her work reviewed by peers, the Daily said. Ketchum said the mitochondrial DNA is the examples which the apparently obtained from leftover blueberry bagels eaten by a family of 10 Bigfoots who lived in Michigan show clear evidence of gigantic mixing. Scientists have determined that Ketchum's present her evidence. She presented her evidence, but she has far declined to make anything public. And her study has proven it would be suggested two options for scientific reasons. And one, that Bigfoot did have sex with an ancient human woman 15,000 years ago and created a half-human hybrid species, which is currently hiding in North America. And the other, that the samples are, and the other samples are contaminated, so they couldn't find any conclusion. But Ketchum said that the U.S. government should immediately recognize Bigfoot as an indigenous people and immediately protect their human and constitutional rights. What's your thoughts? Right. What's your thoughts about that?
Wow.
I see. You know,
I feel like that a lot of information you lost me halfway through.
Okay, well, let me give you the layman terms. Basically, there's a scientist that I found some eating bagels, blueberry bagels, by a family of Bigfoot, and they did studies, and it showed the DNA that women had mated with some kind of half-human hybrid species.
Yeah, I think it's BS. I don't believe it.
You don't?
No.
Well, you never know. You never know.
But you never know.
But you know what? I seen Bigfoot, and I tend to believe it. Why not? Why not? Why don't you believe it? I mean, I'm not accusing you of being mad, but what's your why?
No, I just feel like, I mean, there's a lot of freaks out there that are on the other end, you know, like regular humans that are bestiality with animals, and they don't produce. What makes you think that, you know, an ape-like creature can produce with a human?
But it didn't say. It said it was a half-human hybrid.
Well, that's what half. If it was half-human, it had to have been half-bred with something else.
Well, you know, was it? Would they say chimpanzees are just like one chromosome away from humans, right?
Well, yeah, that's some scientists said that.
Okay, so, I mean, why couldn't a seed be penetrated by the semen, and you know, get you pregnant and have a baby.
You're getting way too. I'm not a scientist, man.
So okay, I'm gonna put you on.
I can't tell you why the swimmers don't break into the egg. I have no idea.
Well, then okay, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I'm gonna put you on the spot. So it's Sasquatch or the urine. Or Yeti, or the Yowie. Yeah. Oh, say that again.
Yowie.
Okay, thank you. Now I got a good sound bite to take.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Okay, so do you think they should have constitutional rights and they be protected?
I think they have the right to vote.
No, being serious. Do you think Do you think that they should be protected? I mean, just like, so I'm just saying, okay, on a serious note, so like, you know, people say there's some people believe there's Bigfoot, and some people, I actually believe in Washington State, there's a law, Bigfoot is protected here.
But, well, and I could see that because they've never, you know, the public's never seen them actually kill one and, you know, or even captured one. So if there, you know, there's one out there, they shouldn't kill it.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. So you think they should be protected?
I agree. Yeah, sure.
Okay. That's it. That's all I wanted, brother. I wanted to hear it.
But as we've been chatting, I did find another movie on the urine, and it's on the Pluto TV. It's called Journey to the Forbidden Valley.
Oh, it's an actual movie?
It's an actual movie.
Well,
and I've got a little tidbit on the storyline. A boy and his guardian, their airplane crash in the jungles of China, and they're waiting to be rescued, and they soon encounter the mysterious urine.
Oh, wow.
So it got a 5.4 out of 10 on the IMDb.
Really?
Network, yeah. So probably not, maybe not a very good movie, but it might be worth checking out.
Well, how about this? So we have a couple short movies to review. How about next week we have our, you know, Todd Neese on Bigfoot Researcher, right? So how about the week after we review that movie? And then I have another one we can review too. It's called Claude, the Legend of Sasquatch. How about we review those two movies the following week?
Okay.
Matter of fact, here's the trailer to it.
All right.
You see that?
What?
I don't know. I thought I saw something.
Tommy? Come on out of there. I saw you already. Manny, quit screwing around.
Yesterday, as some of you already know, there was a bear attack up on Echo Mountain.
Takahei has returned.
In the sleepy town of Pine Creek.
Did you hear? A bunch of guys got killed by a huge grizzly bear up in Echo Mountain.
Everyone had heard the rumors.
We don't need anyone dredging up ridiculous monster stories.
How the bear is handled is our business.
Everyone had seen the clues.
I'd say it was this bad.
You have to get this cleaned up, Sheriff. We can't let this get out.
You don't really think a bear did this, do you?
You ever heard of a bear killing three-armed men?
But to find the truth...
I can't believe you boys are in here playing pool and your buddies are rotting up on that mountain.
And they're gonna kill
that endangered grizzly. All we have to do is go up there and document the slaughter.
Four teens will journey deep into Echo Mountain.
Are we gonna go up there?
I don't see why not.
And the answers they'll find.
Why did they call it Echo Mountain anyways?
The Indians claimed that if you called out at night, something would answer you.
Something?
Will transform legend. Into reality.
Jay, knock it off.
Hey, it isn't me!
You guys really shouldn't be here.
There's a group of hunters and they're shooting at everything.
You don't know what you're messing with here.
Creature.
You need to leave or it's gonna kill you all.
I'm gonna die out here. I know it.
What? We need to get the hell out of here, man.
Get out of here, dude!
We all got chased by something. I don't know what it was.
The Legend of Echo Mountain.
Well, there you go. So we got that one. What was the movie you said?
Let's take a look here. It is called Journey to the Forbidden Valley.
All right. Well, we got two more movies to review. So
that... Gotcha. Are we going to jump onto those little shorts that we checked out?
Yeah. So which one do you want to do first?
Let's see. There was one on YouTube.
I'm horrible with the name. Okay, that was... In Search of Yowie, the Australian Bigfoot.
Let's go with that one first.
Okay. Well, it's about 1970, saw an unpredicted number of Yowie attacks, the most fearsome and aggressive creature on Earth. In Search of Yowie, documents firsthand eyewitness encounters of this horrible beast and gathers expert opinions of this ghastly nature. So what was your thought of this movie?
You know what? It was a little bit cheesy, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I liked the 67 Camaro in it.
At the beginning? Yeah.
And I liked it when the girl was getting chased and her clothes were falling off of her. She was quite attractive. And then we had the Arnold Schwarzenegger imitator.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I watched it last week, and before we start, I was going to watch it over again to refresh my memory. Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, and they went out there trying to hunt that Yowie, remember?
Yeah, he got that cut on his arm, and he was, like, sewing himself like Rambo.
What'd you think about the ending?
The ending? What do you think the ending?
Of the movie.
When he was chasing him, he jumped off the cliff.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of lame.
Well,
it was good. It was good though. It was. I say, you listeners, if you're interested, check it out.
Yeah, it was definitely a 1970 feel, and it started off straight documentary, which kind of, but then it got into the story, but the ending. You know, it said there was going to be a part two, so I went further, and I went to their website, and then it said something about donating. I was going to donate some, but then I don't even know if they made the next two movies of it. I was trying to...
Right. You don't want to donate to someone's...
A no cause.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so, I mean, I wish I would have... have more to say about it. It's just one of those movies you got to watch. I mean, if you like Bigfoot and if you like campy movies, I mean, what do you think? What do you think it was, a thumbs up or thumbs down, basically? Because I got a sound effect for each one.
It's right in the middle for me, but if I had to go one way or another, even though I'm saying to watch it, I'll go with down, thumbs down.
Down?
Yeah.
These nuts.
Well.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey.
Was that a toilet?
Well, you're the one that told me to add on the toilet yesterday.
you added it.
I did.
That's awesome.
I did. You know,
I thought maybe you were sitting on the toilet while we were talking.
Well, I had to cut out. I cut out the plop.
Okay.
So me, awesome. Just because I want to hear the other sound effects, the positive one. Just because of the girl at the beginning. I'd have to approve it.
Yowie.
Woo! Do you recognize the Yowie?
Oh my goodness! You're funny, dude. That's funny.
But I got a better sound effect I could, take out of this episode.
Oh man!
Now, the second movie to review, the Yowie, is a 2010. Jens Hertzum, the director, and you can watch it on imbd.com, and it gave it an 8.3. out of 10 stars. Well, let's back up. At a 1 to 10 stars, what would you give the first movie we watch?
Oh, the one we just talked about?
Yeah.
I would give it a six. Are we doing solid numbers or you want?
It don't matter.
6.5. 6.5 stars.
By the next time we do a review, we're going to have our own rating system. But,
okay.
But yeah, I'll give it a 6.9 just because of the woman at the beginning.
Okay.
You get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. So the Yowie, 2010, is basically about a Blue Mountain shop owner in crisis, and he, you know, his wife dies, and his son Kevin is immature and dependent, and he basically has him go out and put on a Yowie costume and try to generate money and publicity so their shop can make a lot of money. And they, you know, they had people. Well, I don't know. Before I talk about the whole movie, what'd you think? I mean,
yeah, I liked it. It was the production was good. The actors, you know, it was good. I agree with IMDb or DB. With the rating, I feel like it's definitely a higher ranking than the first one we watched.
Well, it was the production wise was like WWE compared to a little independent promotion.
Right. And yeah, they had, you know, real actors, it seemed like, you know, Australians or.
And great production. And yep. I thought it was funny, you know, I thought about you because of Sasquatch Pro and the guy in the costume, he was in the Chewbacca costume though. Remember?
Nice. Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, he does his thing and they got some vigilantes. Yeah, going after him, and then he went out to do another thing, and at one point he got caught you know, in the costume from the woods, and they try to keep it hush hush, and then at the end the real Yowie comes out and grabs the mask, and I thought it was good. Watch it. IMDb.com, the Yowie 210 version. I noticed yesterday there was a later version too. I might have to check that out.
Yeah. And they're worth their time. What are they, average between 18 and 25 minutes, something like that?
Yeah.
Both movies.
Yeah, I think the first one was about right under 29 minutes, and the Yowie one was the one that was a good production. I really enjoyed it, actually. When I first watched the movie, I was kind of bummed because I thought it was just going to be a joke, you know, a guy in a Chewbacca costume, you know. You know what I'm saying? And then at the end, there was a good twist when the real Yowie comes out. And yeah, I think that one was more like, 29 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was like 20. Yeah. Oh no. The second one was like 17 minutes, something like that. Yeah, the second one, the one on IMDb was a shorter one, but yeah, I thought it was good. So what you agree with their star ratings or?
Yeah, I would give it compared to the other one. Yeah.
So
you know,
you approve of the movie?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so do I. So.
Yowie.
Woo! I love it. And I'm sure Pahu Rojo's cracking up because he loves the sound effects. So, so we got our movies to review in 2 weeks. Next week, we got Todd Neese. So I found a couple more Bigfoot theme songs I want us to review.
All right, let's do it.
All right. This one is courtesy of Bigfoot Country YouTube channel. This is Bigfoot by Buzz Martin.
Way up on the mountainside, look what I found. legendary big man track sinking in the ground. It's a legendary Sasquatch are all harping on, but old Bigfoot, he's been there and gone. He's big around the middle and he's broad across the rump, going 90 miles an hour, taking 40 foot a jump. Ain't ever been caught or ever run up a tree. Some folks say he sings a lot like me. He's been seen by almost everybody, almost everywhere. He'd mostly been seen when he wasn't even there. They say he's a monster with a mind of a child. I think he's just a logger that plumb went wild. Well, he's big around the middle and he's broad across the rump, going 90 miles an hour, taking 40 foot a jump. Ain't ever been caught or ever run up a tree. Some folks say he sings a lot like me. They've chased old Bigfoot as far as he can go. When they'll catch and civilize him, well, nobody knows. He shouldn't have to suffer over modern man's whim. You wouldn't want your sister to go to school with him. Well, he's big around the middle and he's broad across the rump, going 90 miles an hour, taking 40 foot a jump. Ain't ever been caught or ever run up a tree. Some folks say he sings a lot like me. Some folks say he looks a lot like me.
Your thoughts?
Some folks say he looks a lot like me.
Can you sing it?
Well,
oh,
no.
Darn, I thought I had another soundbite. Well, what do you get? What do you give this song? A yay or a nay?
I would
Oh, I give it a yay. Woo! Okay, how about you?
What's the nay?
Nay? Okay.
These nuts.
All right, all right. I got one more.
One more.
Courtesy of Walking Bear YouTube channel. This is Bigfoot by Walking Bear.
Oh,
monster. All the frightened looks, so misunderstood.
Your thoughts on that one?
I dug that one.
You liked it?
I like that. Oh yeah.
All right. So I guess
it's groovy.
Okay.
Groovy, baby.
Woo! And I liked it too. Oh, yes. That's my favorite sound effect. Well, I guess we're at the time of the show that... let's give our shout-outs. Unless you have
all
anything...
All right, let's do it.
Unless you have anything else that you want to talk about.
Well, I think we should mention just one more time our guest for next week. And, you know, if we want to have, you know... people send out some questions via email, make sure they do that.
Yep. Todd Neese, Bigfoot researcher. MurkyChronicles@gmail.com. And our hotline to leave a voicemail, and you may hear yourself on the show, 360-200-8779.
Perfect. So, yeah, I just want to give a shout-out to Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels. What's up, Vince? Thanks for taking care of my damn dog daily. And I love my dog. But shout-out to Micah over at Savage Reviews. What's up, Micah? Keep on reviewing. Finding those good spots to go eat.
Yeah, yeah.
And things to do here in the Treasure Valley. And last but not least, Sweet and Low Upholstery. What's up, Sweet and Low? Your stitching is bitching.
That's right. Sweet and Low. That's the one time I won't use stevia. I'll use Sweet
and Low. Right on. All right, what you got, man?
Well, we got Sweet and Low Upholstery. Forget stevia this time, because they're stitching and bitching. All right.
Awesome.
New producer for Tales from the Abyss on all major podcast platforms with Jay Linderman and Pahu Rojo, a great podcast and a supporter of the show. And my Lyrical Spit podcast and this Murky Chronicle podcast on all major platforms. And you can get both shows and links at lyricalspit.com. And what else I got? We already talked about the hotline. Leave a message, and you may just hear yourself on the show. Our guest next week, Todd Neese, Bigfoot researcher, 360-200-8779. And don't forget to check me out on TikTok, at Lyrical Spit Debashi. Who knows what could go viral. And we have a treat for you, like I said, courtesy of Think Anomalous YouTube channel. It's titled Urine, Almas, and Yeti, Cryptid Hominoids in Asia. Nice. So, that was a mouthful. So, anything else, my brother?
That's it.
All right. Well, I guess it's another one in the books. Hashtag Save Our Children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. We'll be back with the stories right after this brief commercial break. Did you just fart?
I said what?
Oh, I thought you farted. All right. We'll be back after this brief commercial break. If she has an apple, she has a banana. And that being said, my favorite of the seven C's is pussy.
Oh, man. All right.
These nuts.
Yes, sir.
Nearly everyone in the English-speaking world has heard stories of Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, and most have heard of the Yeti as well. But there are many ancient traditions of wild hominoids in Asia that are little known in Western culture, supported by hundreds of recorded sightings. These encounters have made their mark in Asian culture and spurred a number of scientific expeditions. But despite the efforts of some of history's greatest scientists and explorers, there is still a shortage of physical evidence for the creature's existence, and their true nature remains a mystery. A hominoid is any tailless ape or monkey, though the term is also used to refer more generally to any bipedal creature that resembles a human. A cryptid hominoid is any hominoid whose existence has been postulated, but not proven. Many in the scientific community use the term relict hominoid, assuming the beings to be survivors of a species commonly thought to be extinct. Witnesses in Asia, however, tend to use terms specific to their region, or refer to the beings as wild men, or wild women, or simply as animals, beasts, or creatures. People see different hominoids in different parts of Asia, but descriptions converge on a few defining characteristics. The creatures are usually entirely covered in hair, though some have bare patches on their faces and hands. They are most frequently described as being black, brown, reddish, or yellowish in color. Some are as short as a meter tall, while others exceed 3 meters or 10 feet in height. Sightings occur across the continent, but they are most commonly reported along mountain ranges or in remote locations in densely forested areas. The hominoids are said to make a range of noises, from grunts to screeching sounds, but they're never heard to speak a human language. There are several distinct traditions of wild hominoids in the area currently occupied by Russia. The Kabardian people of the Northwest Caucasus call these beings Almasti, which translates to forest man or wild man. The Almasti are described as being smaller than the average person. They eat plants, fruits, and small animals, and are known to steal foods from local people. The Telyut of southern Siberia speak of the Almis, variously translated as hairy people or evil spirits. In Mongolia, people call these beings Almas, a word translated as demon or witch in other contexts. The Almas is said to be a large human-looking creature, between 1.5 to 2 meters tall, covered almost entirely in thick red, brown, black, or yellowish hair, and with a face similar to a human's, but with more ape-like features. Like the American Bigfoot, the Almas is said to have a very foul odor. According to Russian hominologist Boris Porshnev, the Almas are primarily found in the Gobi Desert and the western province of Hovd. In China, people call the hominoids they see Yeren, which translates to wild person, or Maoren, meaning hairy men. A large proportion of sightings occur in the dense Shenunjia forest of Hubei province. Yeren range in height from 2 to 2.5 meters, with footprints that are 30 to 40 centimeters in length. They are usually described as having reddish-brown hair, but are sometimes described as being gray, black, brownish-yellow, and in a few cases at least, even white. The earliest inhabitants of the Himalayas, the Lepcha, speak of encounters with an ape-like creature they call Chu Mung, which translates to glacier spirit. They consider this spirit to be the god of hunting and lord of all forest beasts. Though known by many names, the hominoids seen in the Tibetan Himalayas are most commonly known as Yeti in English, a name derived from the Tibetan words for rocky place or cliff and bear. Contrary to popular belief, Yetis are typically seen to be covered in long brown, gray, black, or reddish hair, and not in white hair, as they're frequently depicted. There are many regional variations of the creature across the Himalayas. The people of Bhutan alone describe at least 2 or 3 different types of beasts of differing size and color. In India, people know these hominoids as the Mande Burung, or forest man. The creature is said to be nearly 3 meters tall and to share many similarities with the Yeti. There are reports of hominoids in the South Pacific, too. Indonesia's Nage tribespeople on the island of Flores speak about Ebu Gogo, an upright walking ape just short of a meter or 3 feet tall. The Ebu Gogo are said to live in caves and steal food and children from neighboring peoples. Similar traditions of wild hominoids can be found on every inhabited continent but Antarctica. The indigenous Australians call these beings the Yowie. The indigenous Amazonian people of the state of Mato Grosso in Brazil call them the Mapinguari, meaning thick bushes. Despite minimal to no contact between these cultures for most of human history, the hominoids that people describe from Canada to Mongolia share a number of commonalities, like hairy bodies, foul odor, and a swift gait. The evidence for cryptid hominoids on the Asian continent dates back thousands of years. The 3,800-year-old Mesopotamian Odyssey, the Epic of Gilgamesh, features a character named Enkidu, a hairy, beast-like wild man. Enkidu first lives among the animals before slowly adjusting to city life. Russian hominoid researcher Marie Jean Kaufman identified several references to hairy hominoids in the Bible, sometimes translated as satyrs, for the woodland deities from classical mythology. two Phoenician bulls dated to the 6th to 8th centuries BCE portray the hunting and killing of a large hominoid covered in hair. A mirror from the North Caucasus region dated to the 6th or 7th century BCE depicts two hairy bipeds among the local animals, though there are no such apes in the area. In the late 4th century BCE, a Macedonian admiral under the command of Alexander the Great was traveling the Indus River when he saw a shore lined with huts and 600 beast-like people that were fully covered in hair. He claimed that the people had nails like claws and wielded primitive wooden spears. A historian from the Chinese Tang Dynasty was among the first of many commentators to claim that the forests of Hubei province were home to a group of wild men. A record from the 17th century makes passing mention of hairy men as tall as 3 meters in the caves of the mountains of Fengxian County, stating that they often came down to the villages below to hunt chickens and dogs. The Tibetan Manid Kabum, a 12th century chronicle, claims that the Buddhist deities mated and created human-monkey hybrids. Images of hair-covered hominoids appear in Buddhist scrolls, manuscripts, and murals dating back to the 18th century. Around the year 1400, a German traveler named Johann Schiltberger was captured by Turkish forces and held prisoner in Mongolia, where he learned of wild people living in the mountains there. He later wrote that they were almost completely covered in hair, with only their faces and hands exposed. They ate anything they could find and acted like wild beasts. Schiltberger claimed that a male and female were captured and gifted to the Mongol prince, although it's not clear that Schiltberger ever saw the beings, and there is no other record of their captivity. In the late 19th century, the Russian explorer Nikolai Perchevalsky investigated reports of a large black bipedal animal, which the Mongols called Kungaresu, or man-beast. In 1872, Perchevalsky's Tibetan guides showed him a pelt that they said was one of the animals, but he was sure it was a bear's. The next year, however, Perchevalsky saw a creature from a distance in Qinghai Province, China, that his guides identified as a Kungaresu. Though Perchevalsky insisted that it was just a bear, he admitted that it had an unusual long body and a hump on its back. In 1921, explorers on the British Everest Reconnaissance Expedition found human-like footprints in the snow at 6,400 meters altitude, which Charles Howard Berry believed were left by a loping gray wolf. His Sherpa guides, however, believed that they were left by a human-like beast they called the Meto Kangmi. The find led to a surge of media interest in the Yeti and inspired further expeditions. In the initial push to get the story out, a British reporter mistranslated the Tibetan word meto as filthy and creatively dubbed the creature the Abominable Snowman, a name that still persists in popular culture. By the 1950s, the global effort to reach the summit of Mount Everest brought more experienced mountaineers to the Himalayas and helped unearth more evidence of the Yeti. On an expedition in 1951, English mountaineer Eric Shipton and his team found large footprints in the snow when they were nearly 100 kilometers from Kathmandu, the capital city of Nepal. Each print was roughly 30 centimeters long, and the tracks continued for over 1.5 kilometers. Shipton's photos of the prints were widely published, and they sparked another wave of interest in the Yeti. Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay found prints on Mount Everest in 1953, and there have been many more prints, scalps, and other samples found since. DNA analysis has shown many of these samples to belong to known animals like bears, or even humans. Other alleged evidence, like prints and hairs found in the wild, cannot be identified at all. In 1959, Marie-Jean Kaufman and some Russian colleagues began documenting sightings of almastes in the Caucasus, and by the fall of the Soviet Union, they had collected over 500 eyewitness reports. One involved a former Soviet officer who related an encounter with a female almastee near the end of the Second World War. He claimed that he and his men came upon the creature in a hemp field and saw her chewing on the ends of the plant stems. He estimated her to be 1.8 meters tall, or 5'11", and said she was wearing a tattered Kabardian kaftan, a kind of robe. She was covered in long reddish hair, similar to that of a buffalo, and had large breasts that hung to her belly. She immediately fled when she noticed the soldiers. Interest in the Yeren intensified after a famous sighting in China on the 14th of May, 1976. Just before sunrise, six managers of the Shenunjia Forest Service in Hubei Province were driving along a road through the forest when a hairy reddish hominoid crossed their headlights. They reported their encounter to the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which prompted several scientific expeditions that eventually collected more than 400 sightings from the Shenunjia Forest. They also found some footprints, hair, and feces that could not be identified by laboratory analysis. In 1982, Hu Hongjing of Wuhan University, along with two Ohio State University anthropologists, collected witness reports in the Shenunjia and found tracks, hair, and scat, as well as several dens with bamboo nests that hinted at the presence of a large mammal. Analysis of the scat showed it to be largely the same as alleged urine samples collected in previous expeditions, and indicated a diet of plants and insects. In October 1994, the Chinese government established the Committee for the Search for Strange and Rare Creatures. At the time, members of the Chinese Academy of Sciences thought that the Yeren was an unknown species of primate, but by 1999, most had declared their firm belief that such a being did not exist. Despite the limitations of the evidence collected, there is still strong interest in the search for cryptid hominoids in Asia. In 2009, city officials in Kemerovo in central Russia assembled a team of scientists to search for evidence of undiscovered hominoids. Their efforts turned up two identical hominoid footprints, made thousands of years apart. Richard Freeman, director of the Center for Fortean Zoology, continues to make regular expeditions to various regions of Asia. His teams have collected bones and bone fragments, patches of hair, and a number of first-hand accounts of the Almasty and other hominoids. Claims of cryptid hominoids in Asia have attracted limited interest among mainstream anthropologists and ethnobiologists. Academics point to the meager body of physical evidence, especially the shortage of clearly anomalous furs and hides, as an indication that the hominoids that people see are either mistaken bears and other animals, or outright fabrications. Most of the physical samples collected in Asia have been lost, or were proven to have belonged to known animals. Despite 100 years of expeditions, no one has managed to find even a single full corpse or skeleton. Still, there are a few academics who have spoken encouragingly of research on cryptid hominoids. A notable example is the English primatologist, Jane Goodall, who spoke to Native Americans who had seen and heard the Sasquatch. In 2002, she stated that she is certain that this creature exists, like other similar creatures around the world. Most cryptozoologists, or those who study cryptids specifically, take the view that the mysterious hominoids are undiscovered apes. Since the year 2000, we have identified 93 new species and subspecies of primates, four of which are apes, and scientists estimate that there are likely around 300 species of mammals left to be discovered. The incredibly rare Tapa Nui orangutan, for example, was only first reported in 1939, and not formally identified until 2017. Homo luzonensis, an archaic human from the modern Philippines, was only recognized as a distinct species in 2019, based on bones not found until 2007. Other cryptozoologists argue that the creatures are descendants of hominoids thought to be extinct, like Neanderthal, Homo erectus, or Gigantopithecus. Skeptics reject this possibility, and point out that there is no fossil or skeletal evidence to support this kind of evolutionary progression to the current day. It's possible that some of the alleged hominoids that people see are actually just bears, which are known to walk on their hind legs in rare instances. It's also possible that some alleged wild men are just human beings with genetic conditions that cause excessive hair growth. Other historical encounters with Asian hominoids may in fact have been contacts with other subspecies of Homo sapiens, or people of races unfamiliar to the witnesses. One possible example is the Abkhazian legend of Zana, an alleged wild woman said to have been domesticated in the late 19th century, who lived until as late as the 1890s. Beginning in the early 1960s, zoologist Alexander Meshkitsev, and later, historian Boris Porshnev, investigated the case and spoke to a few of the then elderly people who had lived alongside Zana and seen her firsthand. The witnesses said that Zana had been captured in the wild and was eventually sold to a nobleman in the village of Kina. Her skin was black or gray, and she was covered in tousled reddish-black hair with a thick mane hanging down her back. Though ferocious and wild at first, she was eventually taught to obey the nobleman who kept her and perform simple tasks, though she never learned to speak. Zana produced several offspring by local men, four of which survived into adulthood and had children of their own. The youngest of these, a man named Quit, died in 1954. In 2013, geneticist Brian Sykes tested Quit's skull and other bones, as well as the DNA of Zana's living descendants. His analysis revealed that Zana's DNA was 100% Homo sapien, but completely anomalous to the region. Sykes believed that her ancestors must have migrated from Africa over 100,000 years ago. Still, the theory that Zana was human does not explain the accounts of her beast-like nature and appearance, though it's possible that these details were merely inventions or distortions in memory. Several researchers have argued that there is a connection between cryptid hominoids and other anomalous phenomena. Lisa Scheel and Jack Kawani Lapsaritis have explored the connections between Bigfoot, UFOs, and other anomalous phenomena. Like a lot of anomalies, the hominoids tend to play the mythological role of the trickster in that they frequently confuse, frustrate, or bewilder their witnesses. Cryptid hominoids have also been said to vanish on the spot, communicate telepathically, and cause periods of missing time, all hallmarks of UFO encounters. The folklorist Dionysius Trubala has published accounts of people being abducted by hair-covered hominoids in Mongolia, and in some cases, producing hybrid offspring. It may be significant that UFOs are associated with humanity's future in space, while cryptid hominoids are associated with our past on Earth, in that they seem to represent an earlier stage of our evolution from other apes. However, accounts containing explicitly paranormal or UFO-related elements are only a small fraction of all reported sightings of hominoids in Asia and around the world. The suggestion of a paranormal connection has proven to be contentious in cryptozoology, and many researchers reject it outright. They argue that the hominoids in question are flesh and blood creatures, and that the search for them is most likely to succeed if it is organized under a physicalist rubric, and focused on physical proofs, as in any other branch of zoology. Stories of hairy apes and wild men are by no means confined to North America, or the Himalayan mountains. They occur all around the world, but there is a particular diversity of sightings and traditions in Asia. The fact that people all across the continent and all around the world see such similar beings speaks to the reality of the phenomenon. But whether these elusive beings are flesh and blood animals, supernatural entities, or mental fabrications is still hotly debated.
Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.
Be sure to check out Murky Chronicles, drops every Friday.
hosted by yours truly, Theyfala, the Butcher Dobashi, and Kenny Roberts. With guests, stories, news on unexplained and bizarre happenings, you can listen on your favorite podcast platforms or just go to lyricalspit.com for the latest shows and links.